So are you planning for your retirement with the confidence that you're making all the right moves? Well, in today's episode, we're going to unveil some of the crucial income planning mistakes that could jeopardize your retirement, and we'll also show you how to craft a financial plan that's built to last decades, not just a couple of years. So tune into today's episode to ensure that your retirement strategy is foolproof against common pitfalls and ready to secure your financial future. Don't make these income planning mistakes. Coming up next here on the Retirement Roadmap.
It's time for the Retirement Roadmap podcast with registered financial consultant Glenn Mosseller.
Another episode of the Retirement Roadmap has arrived. Walter Storholt here alongside Glenn Mosseller, founder and president of Roadmap Financial Consulting, and you can find us online at roadmapfinancial.com. Glenn, income planning, we know one of the central themes and topics and probably the most important thing to discuss for anybody thinking about retirement sometime in the near future. And so on today's show, we want to talk about the common mistakes that we see specifically when it comes to income planning. So I think this will be an informative episode and also one that should raise big red flags if anybody finds themselves committing some of these income planning mistakes. So I think it'll be helpful and engaging for folks to think about these items. Let's kick it off with a good one here, and let's talk about mentality. Don't plan to be retired for years. We need to be planning with decades in mind. Do you see people making that sort of horizon, that time horizon mistake?
Yeah, Walter. I mean, we see it from time to time. I mean, you know, I mean, most people I talk to, you know, I mean, they get it. I mean, they understand that you know, people today live much longer than in generations past. But, you know, every now and again, you know, I will talk with somebody and they'll, you know, hey, I'm not worried about it. You know, it's like my, you know, everybody in my family has passed away, you know, young, and I just don't think I'm going to live that long. And so, you know, I just want to be, you know, a little bit more aggressive and just spend a little bit more and whatnot. And you know, that one always makes me uncomfortable because it's like, you know, there's always an exception to the rule. And just because somebody passed away, you know, younger, you know, in their past, or, you know, their parents or, you know, or whatever. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're going to. Right. I mean, I was talking to somebody at one point and they were telling me about that. And they said, well, I said, well, you know, tell me about your parents, you know. And I said, did they smoke? He said, oh, yeah. You know, they were both big smokers, you know. And I said, well, you know, do you smoke? He's like, well, no, I've never smoked because that always just kind of turned me off. I never liked being around that. And I just didn't, you know, I've never smoked. And it's like, well, what did your parents die of? It's just like, well, you know, they were lung related issues, you know, lung cancer and, you know, and then some complications and whatnot. And it's like, you know, you might be a little off in your thinking there, right? But they kind of had put two and two together inside their head, thinking that it's like, well, I'm not going to live long. But at the same time, they were making that combination inside their head that just really didn't make necessarily a lot of sense. Now, that said, I mean, they could potentially pass away young, but I think you get my point, Walter. It's just like, you know, you want to plan as if you're going to be here for a long time. You know, I mean, I just know I when I talk to lots and lots of people, you know, one of the things scares people the most is the idea of being, you know, elderly. I mean, really, you know, way into retirement, you know, 85, 90 or beyond, you know, and not having enough money, right? I mean, that's really scary, you know, and it ought to be, right? I mean, that's not an unfounded fear, you know, and so you don't really want to see a situation where it's just like, well, you know, I'm still here. I didn't think I was going to be here and I went through all my money and so now what am I going to do? You know, I mean, that's not a good place to be. So you really want to kind of, you know, plan as if you're going to be here. Now that doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, just, you know, live on, you know, just, you know, bread and water. But at the same time, you know, you want to kind of think in terms of, well, you know, if you're going to err on the side of that, you know, that you're going to be here longer and or your spouse is going to be here longer so that, you know, that your resources are going to last.
All really good points there, Glenn. You're right. There are some fears that, you know, it's kind of like fear mongering. And we have to guard against that and not blow things out of proportion. But then there are some things that we definitely need to be on guard for. And planning with a proper time horizon is definitely one that deserves some attention and focus. All right, let's talk about another income planning mistake. And that would be to start Social Security too early. I know it's tempting to grab Social Security as soon as it's available to you, but people often fall into this trap.
Right, right. Well, and Walter, and again, I mean, it comes back to that question, you know, that answer is that it depends, right? I mean, there are certain cases where Social Security being taken early can make sense, you know, but more often than not, you know, I mean, it, you know, postponing it, you know, it, for an awful lot of cases, it makes more sense. And what I always suggest to folks is, you know, don't make the assumption in either direction. You know, let's look at your whole situation and let's do some analysis as to what's going to be the right thing. And, you know, but it could be, a really critically, you know, bad mistake by taking things to, you know, too early, you know, and turning it, because you can turn it on as early as age 62, you know, and I've seen situations where folks turned on Social Security, they thought that they were never going to go back to work. And then suddenly certain things happened and changed. And, you know, maybe their spouse's situation became different. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they had to go back to work, you know, and now they had made too much money. Their Social Security benefits were being withheld, but yet they couldn't really turn them off. And, you know, there's all kinds of different scenarios that can be there, you know, much less the thing is that, you know, I mean, your monthly income, you know, flow, you know, the longer you delay, greater the cash flow will be, you know, and, you know, later on in life. And, you know, and a lot of times people engage in, you know, it's like, well, you know, where do I break even in that break even analysis? And there's certainly a place for that in terms of, you know, it's like, well, hey, if you take it early, then you're going to get more checks, you know, but they're going to be smaller in size. You know, but if you wait, you know, obviously you're going to have fewer checks, but they're going to be larger in size. And so then you start doing this, like this break even analysis as to, well, how long would it take before I catch up and, you know, get that, and that, you know, all those dollars back, you know. And, you know, they go out into the future, they say, well, you know, based on this and that, you know, I'd have to be this age before I would catch up. Well, and that might be the right way of looking at it, but it might not be the right way of looking at it. I mean, ultimately, it's just like, you know, I mean, you're thinking in terms of, you know, or you have to ask yourself the question, are you looking at just, you know, in terms of just, you know, pure how many dollars are you going to get from your Social Security benefit? Or are you going to use it as that income strategy as you're older, you have more cash flow that you know is there. It potentially is going to, you know, has, you know, tax advantages, you know, to it, you know, that not 100% of that's going to be taxed. There are ways of positioning other funds that, you know, can create a situation where maybe your Social Security doesn't get taxed at all. You know, I mean, there are some people who are, you know, who can position themselves in that way. And then if it's a larger benefit that ends up being tax-free, it could be really super advantageous. And so that break-even analysis a lot of times will break down because they're not necessarily taking every single thing that could potentially happen or all the different strategies that you could employ into account when they're doing that. So it's just, again, you know, kind of make sure you're dotting your I's, crossing your T's, and you really do that analysis to make sure when is the right time, you know, because taking it too early, you know, might not be, you know, it could potentially be a problem. But also, I mean, there are situations where it's not either or, Walter. I mean, you can take it as early as age 62 and you can wait as late as age 70. And there are situations where maybe it makes sense to take it at age 68 or 68 and a half or you know, or something, you know, something in between. It doesn't necessarily have to be on the extremes. Again, it's just, you know, what's your particular situation and what's going to make the most sense? And, you know, have you done the analysis to figure that out?
Yeah, I think it's huge, Glenn, to make sure that we are not making income planning mistakes. And so Social Security, time horizon, two big ones to start off our conversation today. Let's talk about inflation. Ignoring that can be a big mistake. Now, a little hard to ignore inflation these days. Maybe a couple of years ago, this was a bigger threat to people that they were overlooking it. Now it's a little bit more, I guess, aware of folks to be, you know, kind of keeping it on their minds. But yeah, still a big one that we should include in this list, I would think.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Walter. I mean, inflation is always kind of in the mix, if you will. I mean, it's certainly, you know, I mean, it's been a little bit more tame and, you know, in years gone by. I mean, in the last couple of years, it's, you know, it's raised its head a bit more and we've seen that. You know, and it becomes really challenging when you're on a fixed income, right? So one of the keys there is to make sure that you have a situation in your planning, right? I mean, that your plan builds in the ability to have increasing income over time. right? And you know, and there are a number of different ways to do that. But it, you know, you can't just kind of think in terms of, well, you know, these are what my expenses are, and this is what my lifestyle is, and this is all I'm going to need, you know, and so you don't think about it. Well, you know, and if inflation rate, you know, is a few percentage points, you know, each and every year, well, you know, it's just kind of subtle over time, right? I mean, it just kind of gets in there, and a little by little just kind of erodes your buying power. And, you know, and you also, the other thing that comes into play, Walter, with inflation is that, you know, I mean, everybody has a little different situation because of what they spend their money on, right? Because not every single item or, you know, product or service has the same rate of inflation. And, you know, and if you find that yourself that you spend more money here versus there, you know, your personal inflation rate might be greater or less than the next person's, right? You want to be kind of aware of that type of thing too. And, you know, and your overall positioning of your assets and whatnot. You know, one of the things to really be aware of, though, obviously, in when you're in your retirement years, where are some of the areas of inflation that tend to be greater than others? And unfortunately for retirees and soon to be retirees, that, you know, we have to look at that, you know, the healthcare, area of where expenses can come into long-term care, those kinds of things. They tend to have a little bit higher inflation rate than the normal, you know, than the normal inflation rate for just, you know, everyday goods. So, you know, that's, again, it's something that you've got to build in. And, you know, and when you're thinking about inflation, it's not just your, you know, your month-to-month income, you know, a few years down the line or many years down the line, but it's also in terms of, you know, what's it going to cost if you're 65 today and you went into a nursing home, you know, 20 years from now, you know, I mean, what's that going to look like? And do you have any kind of a plan to, you know, to guard, you know, some of your assets, you know, from that potential, you know, that potential inflation? It's important to really think about all of that. And most people don't think about that type of inflation. They think more in terms of, well, I want to go to the grocery store and that kind of thing. And they're both important, but, you know, make sure that you're looking at all aspects of it.
Well, Glenn, that is a really good point, and that's the inflation skinny that you need to know. Let's talk about another mistake when it comes to income planning, about lifetime income streams. And just don't forget that there are others that you're going to need to be aware of to perhaps even create yourself beyond just what Social Security is going to provide.
Well, that's right, Walter. I mean, you know, you typically look at, you know, when you're starting off in the, you know, the realm of income planning, you know, you look at it, it's like, well, what is Social Security income going to be? And that's going to be a certain dollar amount, or, you know, for maybe a married couple, it's going to be a certain dollar amount. And, you know, and you look at, well, when is going to be the optimal time to take it? What are the other resources and accounts that you have and that kind of thing? But at some point, you know, most people are going to look at that, and you're going to arrive at, you know, some number of what that Social Security benefit's going to, you know, be. And then, you know, then you look at what your lifestyle needs and desires are, and there's typically going to be some gap. In other words, it's like, you know, the Social Security comes in at one number, and then your lifestyle is a number that's, you know, that's typically a bit higher than that. And for some people it's a lot higher, and some people it's, you know, not as much, or somewhere, you know, but it is some kind of a gap. And you want to start thinking about that and planning for that, you know. And do you, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, and it's a conversation that you get engaged with your advisor is, you know, how much of that gap do you want to have be, you know, reliable income that you know is going to be, you know, there, you know, you know, you know, month in, month out, you know, ongoing, you know, or you know, that kind of thing. Well, of course, most people are going to say, well, of course, I want to make sure that's always there. Well, yeah, you do, but at the same time, there are certain ways of positioning your, you know, parts of your retirement nest egg that can create that to be, you know, more reliable, you know, and over time, versus, you know, do you want to have everything, you know, at risk, you know, where you have the ups and downs of wherever the markets and the economies take us? Or do you want to have some portion of that money that's kind of carved off and, you know, in a separate bucket, so to speak, that, you know, you're going to be able to, you know, plan for, you know, for that gap in the, you know, in the income, to make sure that, you know, that you feel comfortable that you're going to be okay regardless, and, you know, as to whatever the cycles of the economy that come along or the markets that do, that you're still going to be okay no matter what. You know, and so that you have to really start thinking about that. And there are ways of doing that. Some people have pensions. Other folks don't have pensions, but there are ways of kind of creating your own personal pension with different products that are out there, you know, that you can create, you know, reliable income streams, you know, and they can be activated at different times. And there's strategies of utilizing that as a regular monthly cash flow. There's ways of doing that in terms of just, you know, lump sums from time to time. There's a lot of different ways of, you know, of getting from point A to point B. But again, you want to make sure that you have those conversations and you put those strategies in place that you feel like, hey, you've got a plan in place that's going to create that regular, you know, income that I know that, hey, I can have a lifestyle that we're really looking for, you know, for me and my spouse, or for you if you're single. But you want to make sure that that's there, and it's not like, oh gosh, I'm going to be completely, you know, I'm going to have to ride that roller coaster, you know, up and down wherever the markets take us. That's not really a place where most people want to live in retirement, and you want to have that reliability and put that in place.
We're talking about income planning mistakes here. Try not to make these in your planning. Another one, Glenn, would be to make sure that we don't disregard tax implications on retirement income. This is an often overlooked area, isn't it?
It is, Walter. I mean, we've talked about this in previous episodes some, you know, in terms of, you know, what, you know, ways of possibly positioning, you know, things and looking at, you know, well, you know, what is going to be the tax implications when you go into retirement. So when you're in your working years, you know, typically, you know, almost all of your income is going to be coming from wages. I mean, you might have some income from dividends or maybe some interest and whatnot, but for the most part, most people, you know, it's going to be one source, you know, of the vast majority of their income. Whereas when you move into retirement, you're typically going to have two or three or maybe more, you know, revenue streams. I mean, you're going to have potentially Social Security, pension, maybe IRA distributions, you know, and they're not necessarily all going to be treated the same way within the tax code. So you want to be thinking in terms of, you know, are there strategies there to, you know, to try to lessen, you know, what the tax exposure might be, right? And one of those wild cards, Walter, as we've talked about, you know, a number of times, is Social Security. Right. And if we've said it once, we've said it, you know, I don't know how many times, that Social Security is not inherently taxable. It becomes subject to taxation based upon how much other income you have. And so, you know, one of the things that you really want to start to explore is are there ways of trying to protect, you know, your Social Security, you know, income from having lots of taxation on that. And so that comes into play where you want to explore, you know, are there strategies to maybe do some Roth conversions, or maybe, you know, make contributions to, you know, to Roth type of accounts or other types of accounts that you're going to create, you know, a different structure as to how that, you know, the ultimate, you know, when you look at that tax return, you know, when you're looking at the taxable income and the amount of tax, again, not all things are created equal. And so, you know, in that situation, you want to really, you know, in that retirement situation, you want to really try to protect as best you can, you know, what you can protect. And, you know, and it makes a big difference. I mean, you know, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 in a year that you could potentially save in taxes. Well, that starts adding up, you know, $300, $400, $500, $600, $700 a month. I mean, that can make a big difference in lifestyle. You know what I'm, you know, it just does. It matters. It I always like to tell people it matters how much you get to keep, more so than what the balance in the account has to say.
Great point. Absolutely. Yeah. Dollar saved is a dollar earned. Lots of different sayings that hit that tenor. That's for sure. Two more income planning mistakes we should address on today's show, Glenn. This next one is to not underestimate the impact of withdrawal rates on your savings. Is this kind of getting out at that 4% rule conversation?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Walter, I mean, you got to really, you know, think in terms of that you've got to make sure that you know, when you're doing your income planning, that you're not over withdrawing, right? I mean, you know, because you want to make your money last through, as we talked about earlier, you want to make it last decades, right? And so, you know, and when you start looking with withdrawal rates, you know, what's a safe withdrawal rate, you know, and you know, the, as you were talking about, you know, the 4% rule, you know, and that percent. That, you know, is you know, it may or may not be really 4%. You know, I mean, it depends on, you know, interest rates have kind of, you know, gone up a little bit here in the last couple of years. But, you know, it's, you know, somewhere, you know, as it's, you know, when you start looking at, you know, in terms of what are, what's a safe withdrawal rate, you know, it's typically going to fall somewhere between, you know, 2% and 4%, you know, withdrawal rate. Meaning it's just like, if you look at your, you know, the balance of your account, you know, the amount that you can withdraw and have some degree of certainty that you're going to, that you're going to have the ability to have your money last through your retirement years, you know, you got to think in terms of, you know, what, how much can I take out and still make it last through time? And not only last through time, Walter, but also take into account, like we were talking about earlier, with inflation. You have to, you know, be thinking along the lines of, you know, best case scenarios and worst case scenarios, and you know, and you know, what can potentially happen. You know, I mean, if you retired in the 90s and you had that, you know, that big run up with, you know, with the markets, that was an extraordinary time. If on the other hand, you know, you just retired 10 years later and you were from 2000 to 2010, and that was the first 10 years of your retirement, you know, the markets largely went sideways. There was a run up, then there was a downturn, and then a run up and a downturn. And you know, it matters when you start thinking about, you know, when you're taking money out versus if you're in the accumulation years and you're just adding money to the, you know, to the, you know, to your retirement nest egg. It, you know, you're in a different position and you got to employ different strategies, and the overriding, you know, mindset is to how much income can we reliably produce over time.
Last but not least, Glenn, avoid this retirement income planning mistake. Don't forget to review and adjust your plan regularly. This is really not a set it and forget it kind of thing. It doesn't necessarily mean you're tinkering every single day, of course, but this is not something that we just set and forget about for 30 years either.
Right. Right, Walter. Well, no, absolutely. And you know, and that's why you have your reviews and why you get together from time to time with your advisor, right? And you know, and typically, you know, you want to be thinking in terms of, and you know, you want to make sure that the plan that you put in place, you know, is built to last, which means that it's going to have the ability to have some flexibility within it, because you know, life is kind of a dynamic thing, right? Things change from time to time. But in general, you know, you in all likelihood, you know, the some foundational things are going to likely stay the same. But you know, that's why we have that flexibility, and that's why you get together and review and see. You know, it's like, well, you know, has something changed? Maybe something's changed in your life, or you know, different. You know, maybe a family member needs something and you want to help, or you know, or different things, or maybe you know, hey, you know, the economy is doing, you know, significantly better than what was anticipated, or maybe it's in the other direction. Maybe it's not doing anywhere near as well as was hoped or planned for. So, you know, you want to make those adjustments along the way and kind of just check in. Are we still okay? You know, what if any adjustments do we want to make or do we need to make? You know, and those kinds of things. And it's, you know, it's just, again, this is making sure you're doing your homework, you're dotting your I's, crossing your T's, and you know, and working, you know, with the objective of, you know, making sure that you're, you know, eyes wide open, you know, asking the questions and, you know, and doing the homework, so to speak.
Well, appreciate all of that guidance and advice on today's episode, Glenn, and it makes a lot of sense to avoid these income planning mistakes, since it is such a central thing to planning for retirement. We've got to get this income equation correct. And so if you need help navigating through this part of the planning process, Glenn is there for you. Obviously, income planning is going to be at the center of any retirement planning conversation that you have with Glenn. So pick up the phone, give him a call, and schedule a time to meet for a complimentary initial review. You can do that at 336-291-3535. That's 336-291-3535. Or you can go online to roadmapfinancial.com. Click on the free consultation button to schedule your time to visit. Glenn, thanks for all the help on the episode today. Really enjoyed it, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, Walter. Take care now.
All right, you as well. That's Glenn Mosseller. I'm Walter Shorthall. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time on the Retirement Roadmap.